Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh-day Adventist Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, and the Orientation. Today is October 3rd, 2024, or it is the first day of Bull 2028. This is a new moon Sabbath. We're going to start this service with Psalms 81. Blew up the trumpet in the time of the new moon and the time appointed. And as a prayer, but our sermon's title is World Conditions When Yahweh's People Are Delivered. And that is Lesson 13, Symbolic Code, number 1 and 2 by V.T. Holler. And as to the date that he gave this, sometime, I believe, somewhere around 1943 to 45. Okay. Psalms 81, it says, sing aloud unto Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this were the statutes for the Israel, and the law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the bars. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of the thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god, that's pale, begging, dead god, be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh, Now this is actually Yahshua talking. I am Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, that my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, for the haters of Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. End of our prayer thought. We're going to try to get right on into our sermon here now. Okay. World Conditions When Yahweh's People Delivered is the name of our sermon. 13 Symbolic Code number 1 and 2 by V.T. Holler, 1943 and 1945. He delivered this. And he goes on to say to his people at that time that our study for this afternoon is based on the text that are somewhat scattered throughout the Bible. It is in reality a review of the study we have had the last several weeks, or you might say that it is the conclusion of them. Well, you remember, through our study of the 11th chapter of Daniel, and Isaiah chapter 7 and 8, and onward, they bring to view a war and the deliverance of Yahweh's people in a time of the great distress. That is the point that I am to emphasize this afternoon. We will read first Zechariah 1, 18 and 19. Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Okay. For the prophet saw four horns, and the angel that talked with him made him to understand that these horns were symbolical of the Gentile nation which has scattered Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and Israel, the ten-tribe kingdom, and also Jerusalem, the capital city of the two-tribe kingdom Judah. In other words, and the symbol of the four horns, Zechariah saw those Gentile nations which scattered Yahweh's people and destroyed their kingdom. That's in the Old Testament. Zechariah 1:20-21. And the Yahweh showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to be? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to free them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. For the prophet first saw four horns, which perfectly symbolized those Gentile nations which scattered Yahweh's people. For horns are used to push and scatter. Afterwards, though, he saw four carpenters, thus tending the impression that they have come to build, for that is the business of the carpenters. When the prophet saw the carpenters, he wanted to know the purpose of their presence. In his answer, the angel first told him that these carpenters or none other than the four horns, Gentile nations, which have scattered Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And these same horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem have now returned as carpenters to cast out the Gentiles and thus free Yahweh's people. It therefore become obvious that the four horns, which is after I first saw, point back to the time when Israel and Judah were scattered, and the symbolism of the four carpenters must point forward and to a time years later when Yahweh is to restore and rebuild the kingdom. Briefly then, the symbolism of the horns looks back unto the destruction of the kingdom, whereas the other, the carpenters, look forward to the repairing of it. For the question we ought next to consider is whether the fulfillment of the work of the carpenters took place in the time when the Jews returned from Babylon after their 70 years captivity, or whether it refers to some other time. For you remember that the Jews were scattered, and their land was taken, and they went into captivity under the Babylon for 70 years of the Jeremiah's prophecy, after which they returned, and the city was rebuilt. For the Zechariah says there were four horns, which would include all of the nations that had a part in the scattering of Yahweh's people, and moreover, if this prediction met its fulfillment in the Nehemiah and Haggai's time, all the Gentiles should have been driven out forever. But they were not. Besides, the horns were those nations that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, and now they have returned to free them and to repair the kingdom, and that's the repair that's in there, the restore that's in there. And in chapter 2 of Zechariah's prophecy, Yahweh declares that not only would his people's kingdom be restored, but many nations would join themselves to the Yahweh. Since both Israel and Judah did not return, and since other nations did not join themselves to the Yahweh and his people, when the Jews returned from Babylon, we cannot say that this prophecy met its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from Babylon. And since the prophecy has never been fulfilled, it must take place at some future time. Through it all, we see in the Zechariah prophecy a prediction that one day Gentile nations would be engaged in the rebuilding of the Israelitish kingdom in Palestine that was at once destroyed. We see also that there is to be a world war in which Gentiles outside of Palestine and the Gentiles within will be involved. In that war, Yahweh's people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem are to be delivered and made free, and the kingdom will be rebuilt. That is as plain as anything I have ever seen. In Luke 21:24, we find these words, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." It is at the time Zechariah's prophecy is fulfilled, when the four carpenters drive out the Gentiles, that Jerusalem shall no more be trodden by the Gentiles, for their time to occupy the Holy Land shall be brought to its end. Then the Jews are to return and possess the land. Isaiah, Daniel, and Nahum also bear prophetic testimony to the fact that there is to be war and trouble and deliverance of Yahweh's people at the time his kingdom is restored on the earth. Let us now consider Jeremiah's prophecy. For the Jeremiah chapter 20 through 30 is one long account or book, if you please, containing both history and prophecy. It deals with the wickedness of the Jews and how Yahweh would deal with them if they did not repent. And the Yahweh tried every possible way to lead them to repentance, but they would not respond. In the 26th chapter is an account of a conference they held to determine what to do with Jeremiah, the Yahweh's prophet. Some wanted him killed, but others objected to it, and his life was preserved. One of the most important facts to be observed in these chapters, however, is that the Yahweh declared that the punishment he was to mete out to his people, the Jews, would sometime be given to the kingdoms of the Gentiles also. We shall now read Jeremiah 30, verses 1 and 2. "For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahweh said, Thus speaketh the Yahweh of the Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For the Yahweh commands the prophet to write in a book all the words that he had spoken in the preceding chapters." Jeremiah 30, verse 3. "For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. All that Yahweh has said about the destruction of Israel and Judah was to be carefully written in a book, because sometime he is to deliver them both, and he did not want that fact to be forgotten. I am positive upon the Bible authority that the kingdom restored is not to be made up in heaven above. It is to be made up in the very land where Yahweh's people lived until they were driven out because of their sins. Yes, the Bible teaches that all the 12 tribes someday will return and possess that land, the land that he gave unto their fathers. After the millennium, Yahweh's people will possess not only Palestine, but they will possess the whole earth. They must first, however, return from among the Gentiles and possess the land of their fathers in the fulfillment of the prophecy we are now studying. Necessarily, then, it must take place before the millennium, before Yahweh's people go to heaven. Jeremiah 30, verse 4 to 6. And these are the words that the Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For this saith the Yahweh, we have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in the travail? And all forces are turned into the paleness. We heard a noise of the trembling, of the fear, and not of peace. We do not have to ask whether a man travails with child, for we know that he does not. What then is the reason for the suggesting the question? It indicates that something is to happen that never happened before. It will be something as strange as if a man were to travail with child. A time of the great and unusual trouble and fear is to overtake the people. It is to bring great distress and anxiety upon them. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Though it is designated as a time of Jacob's trouble, yet there is no trouble like it in the respect that none is so great. For this prophecy, Yahweh is revealing that before the Yahweh's people return unto their father's land, there shall be a time of the trouble that will turn all faces pale. It will be a time of the trembling, of the fear, and of trouble such as never was. Trouble is coming. It is not going to be a small trouble. Why is it called Jacob's time of trouble? Jacob made his trouble while he was returning unto the promised land. Now Jacob is to return again unto the promised land with all his household, and again he is to meet with the great trouble. That is why it is called a time of Jacob's trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have hardships now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now comprehend or even imagine how great the trouble will be. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For the trouble actually is what saves him. Then the time of the trouble is coming for the good of the latter-day Jacobites. It is coming to deliver them through this most difficult time. It is the man who has the greatest faith in the other that will fear the least. The more faith one has, then the greater will be his deliverance. We have learned that in that great time of the trouble, those represented by the Jacob will be delivered. Daniel calls it a time of the trouble such as never was. And he also foretells that the Michael shall stand up, which is Yahshua himself, the son of Yahweh, and deliver everyone whose name is written in the book. Why did both prophets write about it? Jeremiah perhaps deals more directly with the deliverance of the people and makes plain the time Yahweh is to accomplish the deliverance. Jeremiah 30 verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahshua the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bond, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. For the breaking of the one's yoke and bond means for the making one free. For it is from the Assyrian yoke that the Jacob is going to be made free. Well, Jacob was in his uncle's house, Laban, in the land of Assyria, called Mesopotamia back then, and his great time of trouble was when he was returning to his homeland, and he made it all the way back into Palestine. He already crossed over the river Euphrates when his uncle caught up with him. And so, and Jacob had his greatest time of trouble after he got into the promised land again, returning home. Jeremiah 30 verse 9, but they shall serve Yahweh, their king, and David, their visible king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now, we will read the last part of the Jeremiah 30 verse 8 again. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. For the reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there. In the religious realm, strangers serve themselves rather than the Yahshua and their king. But in the kingdom, all will serve the Yahshua, their invisible king, and David, their antithetical visible king. If I am a minister of the preaching of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, which is called the gospel for the latter days, for what I can get out of it, then I am serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of Yahweh's people, then I am serving Yahweh. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die, if necessary, for the cause of the Yahshua? There shall be no more strangers among the Jacob that will serve themselves, but they shall serve the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. There are two principles brought to light in this statement. One is religious and the other is civil. The one religious is none other than the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and the one civil is the David, the visible king, antitypical David, the visible king. If he is to raise David under them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of the government as they had in the David's time. Jeremiah 30 verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For the Jacob should not fear, because he shall be saved out of his trouble. Yahweh is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearfully troublesome time, they would not need to be told to fear not, nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of the trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly then, the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Jeremiah 30 verse 11 to 13. For I am with thee, saith Yahshua. This is the son of Yahweh talking. To save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in the measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. For the Yahweh's people are to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in the measure. For the incurable bruise and grievous wound is a kingdom lost. Though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Just before Yahweh's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. But a miracle is to take place. Then all will know that Yahweh alone wrought their deliverance. As actually, they will all know that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, alone wrought their deliverance. He's the one that went with Moses down into Egypt to deliver Moses with the children of Israel out of Egypt, 1500 B.C. Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, for they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. For the Yahweh's people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sins. Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, Sarahs, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is to begin to be fulfilled when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jeremiah 37:10. For I will restore health unto thee. Here's that health. For I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yeshua. Because they call thee an outcast sin. This is Zion. In other words, Mount Zion at the 12th hour. With the Elijah David as the prophet for the kingdom. This is that everlasting kingdom pointed out in Daniel 2:44-45. That's set up here in these last days. Whom no man seeketh after. For the adversaries will make sport of the Zion, because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have no following or friend, no one to plead their cause. Jeremiah 30:18. This saith to Yeshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy, and I will have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. For the city shall be rebuilt, and the palace shall shall remain. Jeremiah 30:19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Jeremiah 30:20. For their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Jeremiah 30:21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Yahweh? For the nobles shall not be of the Gentiles, for they shall have their own government. Jeremiah 30:22-24. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Behold the whirlwind, or I will be your Savior, Yeshua, son of Yahweh. Behold the whirlwind of it. Yeshua goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked, for the fierce anger of the Yeshua shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intent of his heart. And in the latter days you shall consider it, to find out what the whirlwind is. Let us turn unto Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith Yeshua, the king of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahshua's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Yahshua has sent me, to witness Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, an hissing, and a curse as it is this day. It made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations to take this curse, Jeremiah 25:19. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Egypt was next. Jeremiah 25:20-29. And all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Aza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan and Tamar, and Buzz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Mede, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, the king of Israel, drink ye, and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, you shall certainly drink, for lo, I begin to bring evil on a city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh. For the Yahshua here declares that he commanded, or he commenced the punishment with his own people, and he is not going to excuse other people from the punishment. All the nations unto whom he sent it were to drink of the curse, and what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do in the nations, because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Jeremiah 25:30-31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Yahshua shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon the habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Yahweh hath a controversy with the nation. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Yahweh. The wicked will be destroyed. Jeremiah 25:32. Thus saith Yahshua the host, son of the Yahweh, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for Yahweh will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It seems that war, it means war, yeah. For it means war, Jeremiah 25:33. And the slain of the Yashur shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered and buried, they shall be dung upon the ground. For this verse is not describing the conditions that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Yashur when he comes in the cloud. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind, Jeremiah 25:32. It is from war. Why should the Yashur first bring this on Judah and Jerusalem and then unto the nation? Because they had the greatest light, and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Then when this war starts in the time of the deliverance of Yahweh's people, the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please return now to Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yashur goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For this whirlwind is warfare, which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is the start and the latter end of the time. Yahweh's people are scattered among the Gentiles just before his people are delivered. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, says Yahshua, will I be the Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. For the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, for the Gentile world, showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nation. Those that were left will be restored to their own land. It is in this time when the true ones in Israel are left and find grace with the Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:3-4. For the Yashur hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tablets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Jeremiah 31:5-6. Thou shalt yet plant vineyards or vines upon the mountains of Samaria. Okay, the planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. For there shall be a day that the washing upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to the Zion and to the Yashur, our Yahweh. For Judah is in Zion. Ephraim refers to the kingdom of Israel as the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore, the day is coming that Ephraim will go to Judah in Zion unto the Yashur, son of Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith the Yashur, sing with the gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yashur, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. There are people yet to be saved. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that surveilleth of the child together, a great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Jeremiah 31:9-10. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahshua, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. An announcement is to be made unto the nations, informing them of the good things Yahshua will do for Israel. Jeremiah 31:11-12. For Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Yahshua for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn unto Isaiah 30 and read another prophecy prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah and Israel, and sets forth Yahweh's intention to destroy their kingdoms. Let us now read Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will Yahshua wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahshua is a Yahweh of the judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses, Yahshua sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way, which will lead to loss and shame. But in this verse, he declares that he will wait for a time and mercy for the true ones among them, those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted. And a special blessing is in store for those who do wait for him. Isaiah 30:19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. They will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it. He will answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. Isaiah 30:20. And though the Yahshua give you the bread of the adversity and the water of the affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of restoration, their teachers would be seen of the people. Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. When the horse comes to the forks in the road, he wonders which road you want him to take. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the reins by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So with Yahweh's people, the still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. Isaiah 30:22-24. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornaments of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in the large pastures, the oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been wintered with the shovel and with the pan. There shall be prosperity, Isaiah 30:25-26. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water, and the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Yashur bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. For the day when the Yashur binds the breach of his people, and heals the stroke of their wound, is in the day of the restoration. It is the day that the kingdom is returned unto the Yahweh's people. At that time, the moon and the sun were shine many times brighter. This is symbolical language for the sun signifying Bible truth. If the sun is to shine 7 times brighter, it would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter. Since it is even now growing brighter and brighter, we see in it another evidence that the time that this prophecy is to meet the fulfillment is almost here. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of the Yashur cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. For the sun shines 7 times brighter in the day that the name of the Yashur cometh. This is speaking of the day of the Yashur, and according to Malachi, the Yashur was to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Yashur should come. That's who we are, the Elijah of today, Isaiah 30:28. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach unto the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of the vanity. There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. For he shall come to sift the nations with the vanity. For he knows that vanity appeals unto them. Through it they will be led before Yahweh wants all, led where Yahweh wants, and to go who follow after vanity. They will err in their way through specially designed vanity which Yahweh shall send them, because they follow vain things. Isaiah 30:29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yeshua, unto the mighty one of Israel. That is the way you are going to feel if you follow Yeshua in the truth. Isaiah 30:31. And the Yeshua shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with the scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Yeshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down with smoke with a rod. For the Assyrian will be beaten down in the promised land through the voice of the Yeshua. You do not know now what that voice will say, but when it comes, you will know it. And whereas you do not need to know it now, you will have to know it then. If you look for it, you will recognize it without a doubt. Isaiah 30:32, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which Yeshua shall lay upon him, it shall be with the tablets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will, and he fight with it. Speaking of this event, Nahum said, the fir trees shall be terribly shaken, and the trees will fall. What is happening and is shaking that has already commenced in today's world? Some great men have fallen, and it is likely that the reason the woman Babylon will be put to rule, the world will be due to the trees of rulers having fallen and the shaking that is now only commencing. For the next chapter of Isaiah, like the preceding chapter, starts with the subject of the fall of Judah, and it also brings in a promise of the restoration. We are told that the reason Judah fell was that they trusted in Egypt rather than obey Yahweh. Let us continue by the reading, Isaiah 31:4. For thus hath Yeshua spoken unto me, like the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yeshua the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. For the Yahshua is not going to be afraid. He is going to come down to fight for Mount Zion, the kingdom, to restore it. How do we know? It is the kingdom. Please turn with me to Isaiah 1:27-31. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahshua shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the garden that you have chosen, for you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the song shall be as tow, and the master of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That is what happens anciently to Israel and Judah. But what is to happen at the last? Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it. The hill of the Yashuv then is the kingdom restored. Let us continue with Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds flying, so will Yashuv the host defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. So Yahweh is calling for the reformation and a people other than the children of Israel who have deeply revolted against Yahweh. Isaiah 31:7-8. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then when this idolatry is cast away by every man, the Assyrian will fall by the sword in the time when Yahshua pleads for his people to return unto him, and when they do it, then the Assyrian will fall, not before that. It was because of their idolatry that they lost the land, and Yahweh is not going to bring his people back to their land with their idolatry. Therefore, we and all of Yahweh's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go to the place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world, for there none will be tired or sick or lonely or afraid. Isaiah 31:8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. For the Assyrian will fall by a sword, which Yahshua himself shall send. Assyria will not fall by a mean man. His fall will come with the circumstances that will clearly show that the Yahshua caused it to be happened. When the ancient Israel fell, it was the Yahshua who brought it. It was the Yahshua who was responsible for it. So it will be also with the Assyria, unless she, too, turns unto the Yahshua. Moreover, it is a vain thing for them to look unto some other nation for help. None can stay Yahshua's punishment. Only Yahshua can help at such a time. Isaiah 31:9, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. This is Yahshua and King David together, and the throne of King David here on earth, and the 12th parabolic jar that we're in right now, saith Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace is in Jerusalem. At the time Yahweh's purifying fire is in Zion, and his purifying furnace is in Jerusalem, the Assyrian will pass over to his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. From this, we can see that Nineveh will not lose out completely when she loses in Palestine. She is to lose out in Palestine first, and then flee to her stronghold. This has reference to the time when the kingdom is set up before the scarlet-colored beast comes, before the woman rules the beast. Indeed, this prophecy is talking about Assyria, not Babylon. It shows that Assyria will lose out in the promised land. Before she loses her stronghold, the kingdom then is to be established before the complete fall of the Assyria takes place. For the kingdom is going to be established, moreover, in Zion and Jerusalem, not in Washington or Mount Carmel. And many people and nations shall flow unto it. It will happen just as soon as every man casts away his idol. It is useless to expect it before. As soon as that happens, Assyria will fall and the land. The coming of the kingdom then is not waiting for anyone but Yahshua's own people. Let us return unto Jeremiah and read a few more verses from the chapter we were studying earlier, Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Both old and young will rejoice together, Jeremiah 31:14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Yahshua. All will be satisfied, Jeremiah 31:15-16. Thus saith Yahshua, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahshua, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahshua, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. This includes all Yahweh's people, living and dead. Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Yahshua, that thy children shall come again unto their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastened. I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yahshua, my Yahweh. How different is Ephraim at the time of his deliverance compared with what he was like when he was taken captive? Once he was like a wild bullock, but now he is tame. We have read a number of scriptures here today. Now let us very briefly summarize what we learned from it. We learn, number one, what is the time of Jacob's trouble? Number two, we learn that the kingdom will be set up in a time of war. That's going on right now in Israel. Number three, the whirlwind and the sword. War is the evil or curse that is to be sent unto all the nations unto whom the Yahshua will send it. Number four, the evil war is to go from nation to nation and is not to be of the short duration. Number five, Yahweh's people will be delivered in a time of the great trouble. Number six, they must cast away all idolatry as a prerequisite in being delivered. Number seven, the Gentiles will have their trouble when they are called out of Babylon. Today's study dealt mainly with the Jacob's own trouble and about his being delivered from the Assyrian yoke. For the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is fast coming. Let us each be ready for it on time, lest we lose out altogether. This brings the end of our study. This is our contact at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio article. Hear this, and we're going to close now with a song.